Do you realize that this was the first Christian sermon on the road to Emmaus? The first Christian sermon was preached by Jesus. Now, we had some people who witnessed to Jesus. You know, the woman at the well was probably the first person to witness and give testimony to Jesus. But this was the first Christian sermon that we have recorded for us in Scripture. Because Jesus, as he was walking along the way with these disciples, expounded on Scripture and taught them and brought to their memory what the prophet said about the coming of the Messiah, the Christ. And that's what, for me, preaching is all about. Expounding the Scriptures that we might understand it, because the words of life are in this book. The words of life are in the Scripture. The Scripture is the very Word of God for our lives. But you see, I think we are plagued with the same problem that the disciples on the road were plagued with that day. And Jesus identified it as being slow of heart. Slow of heart. Slow of heart to believe what the Word of God says. These were disciples. These were two of the people among the 120 who were closest to Jesus. Not two of the apostles, but two of that group of about 120 that were surely gathered together on the day of Pentecost. These were the people closest to Jesus. This was the larger group out of which Jesus had called the 12 apostles to carry on and lead his church once he left. But he was concerned when he met these men on the road. You know, it was a kind of normal situation. You know, he just met up with some guys and they were walking along, and it's kind of humorous. I think God has a wonderful sense of humor, and I'm glad that comes out in Scripture. You know, it really is okay to laugh about things in Scripture. And I think God's sense of humor is expressed here through John. Because he said, what's going on? You know, if you met up with a group of people and you wanted to start a conversation, a good way to do that is ask them a question. Well, what's going on? And then they turned to him and said, man, are you the only person in Jerusalem that doesn't know what's been going on? Now, you see, I think that's funny. Because I happen to believe he was the only person who knew what was going on. I think that's funny that they ask him, of all people, man, are you the only guy in Jerusalem that doesn't know what's been going on the last few days? When in fact, he was the only one who truly knew what had been going on the last few days. And see, they knew about the events, but they were still slow of heart to believe. Now, what does that mean? Now, in a biblical sense, the Hebrews and therefore the people of the New Testament looked at it the same way. They talked about the heart. It's not today where we talk about the personality. We talk about the mind and the intellect being in the mind. And if we attribute anything to the heart, we talk about our emotions and our positive feelings. In the Old Testament, to the Hebrews, to the Jews, to Jesus, to these men walking along the road, the heart was the center of your personality. The heart was the seat of the intellect. The heart was the seat of your emotions. The heart was the center of your will and your will power. The heart was the center of your moral and ethical life. In other words, the heart was the primary point of contact between man and God. The heart was the totality of our personhood and our personality. Little different than the way we look at it today. So Jesus was making a profound statement when he encountered them and said, actually, you foolish men, why are you so slow of heart to believe what the prophets and the scriptures have told you? Wasn't it right that the Messiah, the Christ, would suffer and die? And explained it to them. He preached to them. He expounded scripture. He laid out the scripture as they walked that 7 miles and opened up their minds what God was really saying. Opened up their hearts, you see. Opened up their minds in our terms. Opened up their hearts, their intellect. Opened up their emotions. Opened up their moral and ethical state of being. Opened up their will to the very will of God at this marvelous point of contact. And he was saying to them, and I believe saying to us today, that if we're going to be believers, we've got to be believers all the way. And that's what the heart, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength. That's what that means. They were disillusioned. They had doubts because they were slow of heart to believe. When we're overwhelmed by anxiety, by depression, by the struggles of life, by the insecurities that come to us from time to time, it is because we are slow of heart to believe. We're not putting everything in to our relationship with God and into the Word of God as it would speak to us, as it would live in us and make such a tremendous difference. See, we live in a world where we've compartmentalized things, where we can intellectually say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I'm a believer. I go to church. But I remember, and I'm forgetting his name. I've had one of those weeks where names just gone. And I don't know how many brain cells are dying in my head every week, but a lot of them died this week. Because remembering names has just been a killer. And I can't get this guy's name to come back to me for anything. But he's one of the great leaders of our Methodist Church in evangelism. And he wrote a book a number of years ago. And he said, at best, most of the people at church aren't true Christians. Because we compartmentalize things. But we think we are. Let me ask you to do something this morning. You know, look to the person on your right. Of course, those of you on the end of the pew, I know, every one of you had that funny look on your face. Okay. Well, look to the person on your left. Okay. Now, what he said is, at best, being very gracious, only 1 out of 3 of us in church on Sunday morning is really Christian. Jesus would have said, only 1 out of 3 of us have really taken the Word of God deep into our hearts, into our life, into our personalities. The rest of us have just put it out here somewhere and we play with it. The rest of us are slow at heart to believe, to really accept it all, to really embrace it all, and make a difference in our lives. My daughter told me a good story. You know, children can amaze you. And my grandchildren, 4.5 and 2, just teach me so much. And my 4.5-year-old is learning so much at preschool, and especially with 9/11 and the patriotism that I think has resurged in America and in our community. They've been focusing on the country and the flag, and so she learned the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. And so when they go down the road, every time she sees a flag, she recites the entire Pledge of Allegiance. Well, she's got a little 2-year-old sister, and she's been sort of mumbling along. And the other day, Lisa was riding down the road, and Megan was in the car, and they passed a flag, and my little 2-year-old granddaughter recited the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. And you see, it's in their hearts. They really believe it. A teacher told them that it's important to believe in the flag. And a little sister looked up to her older sister, and decided if she's doing that and the flag means that much, it means that much to me. And I was just thrilled the other night when Lisa put Megan on the phone and she recited the Pledge of Allegiance. She can't say word with L, so liberty was a little bit tough for her. But she got about 3/4 of the way through it, and she says, "Mama's not there." And Jane spoke up and says, "Yeah, I'm here." And then she had to start it all over again. See, she believes it in her heart. When you see that flag, you're supposed to feel something. You're supposed to believe something. The words are supposed to mean something. And that's what Jesus was trying to tell these men on the Emmaus Road. Oh, you're so slow of heart to believe. Don't you know what God's Word is saying to you? And when we struggle, when we doubt, when we're suffering, when we're facing a challenge, our God is, "Don't you know how much I love you and what my Word wants to say to you if you will just embrace it with your intellect and with your emotions and with your will and with your moral sense of what's right and wrong? Just embrace it with your whole personality, and I will bless you and I will lift you to a higher level of life." Let's not be slow of heart to believe. Let's take it into the very depths of our being and know the power, the freedom, and the love, and the joy that Jesus died for, that we might have. Let us be quick to believe the Word. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you that even in our slowness, even in our reluctance, even when we try to put our religion in a little compartment where we can manage it, your Word, the living Word that is Christ Jesus, seeks to break through and come alive in us. Thank you for loving us so much. Indeed, may we love you more. May we walk with you and talk with you, that the Word might be alive in us, and that we might be quick to believe in your love and your power and the hope that is ours. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.